award-winning Tennessee Wildcast is on the air with the latest on hunting, fishing, boating, wildlife watching, and all things outdoors. Make welcome your host, drummer and outdoor expert novice, Jason Harmon.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to this edition of Tennessee Wildcast. We're glad you're tuning in. Thanks for watching. Thanks for listening. We got a great show lined up for you today, Don.
Yes.
About boating.
Oh, it's that time of year.
Yeah, it's warming up.
Yeah.
Folks are finding their boating gear and pulling the boat out of the garage and getting out there.
That's right. First thing to keep in mind, safety.
Safety. We're going to discuss a lot of that today. Safety, preparing for the season, kind of an update on where we are right now.
Yeah.
We got a great guest with us today.
You bet.
But first, well, you want to highlight a radio station?
Yeah. How about there's a station in South Pittsburgh, Tennessee, one of my favorite towns in Tennessee.
There you go.
And the River, 104.9. And you can hear us there 7:30 to 8 on Saturday mornings, and Sunday mornings 5:30 a.m., 5:30 to 6. So
awesome.
Tune us in there on South Pittsburgh Station, 104.9. And hey, thanks to all our other radio partners out there, too.
Radio partners, TV partners. You can find us on the podcast, listen, watch on YouTube.
We're just everywhere, really.
You know, from east to west, Bristol to Memphis, you can find us, no matter what kind of platform you use. I'm excited about today's show, but real quick, just to remind people, GoOutdoorsTennessee.com is where you get your license. If you got any hunting, fishing license, you go there. If you want to renew your boat, you can do that there, too. So a lot of good resources there. Go Outdoors.
You can get a Wildcast hat cap like the one you got on right
now.
You can.
Just put shop in front of that. Shop.GoOutdoorsTennessee.com. It'll pull up our list of swag. So, yeah, go check that out.
Yeah, good stuff in there.
Good stuff. Well, today we're with Matt Majors. Matt, thank you for being here. Thanks for coming into the studio.
Thank you. I'm glad to be here. You know, it's a tremendous honor to be on this show because it is so popular, probably the most sought-after show in the radio, in any media, I would think.
Oh, well, man, I didn't know that. That's great.
I like the way this guy thinks.
Yeah, he's very positive. Now, Matt's been with us a few times on Wildcast. I think the last time we were on the edge of Percy Priest Lake for a little Operation Drywater press conference, and we did a show there after that. But great to have him in. But recent promotion, we wanted to talk about that today.
Congratulations,
he's moving up in the ranks, and I think it's well deserved.
Yeah.
Thank you, guys.
Share with us kind of your career a little bit and where you are today and how we got to this point.
Sure. You know, when I got out of college, I did not necessarily have a lot of plans. I thought I did, but after I got out, I'd had a sort of a factory job, and it paid really good. And I was thinking, man, I can make money there. And I was quickly redirected by my family and friends who said, your love is in the outdoors. Mm-hmm. You got a degree in wildlife and fisheries. Don't chase after money. Chase after a dream. And that was great advice. It really was.
Man,
so I applied with Tennessee Wildlife Resources, and guess what? They didn't hire me.
Uh-oh.
But that's all right. Went to North Carolina, worked over there, had a great opportunity over there with North Carolina State Parks, worked for them about 4.5 years. But once I did that, I realized, Tennessee was calling me back home.
So yeah.
Applied again. I got a job as a wildlife officer. Worked that for 5 or 6 years, then promoted to a district-wide sergeant position and full-time boating officer position. Then in 2010, I took a statewide boating investigator job, and my job was training and investigation of boating related incidents all over the state, and I've been doing that for the last 13 years. But recently was lucky enough to have the opportunity to be promoted to lieutenant colonel in our boating and law enforcement division, and in all is an understatement for me, because every day I put on this uniform, I still feel like the first day that I got it. And I often tell the story, when I got my first wildlife officer truck, it looked like it had been in a motor vehicle crash. But I invested everybody talks about when they get a job, what they invested their first money, whatever it is.
Yeah.
I invested in the biggest can of Meguiar's wax
you
can get.
Oh, yeah.
And I had that ugly truck as shiny as it had ever been. And I was so proud of that.
Awesome.
And I see our officers today. They still feel that way. They take care of their equipment. They really are they're thankful for the job. It's a career, it's a passion, it's a calling, and I'm honored to be where I'm at and to help our sportsmen, our hunters, fishermen, and boaters. That's my goal every day, is to make things better for them and to make things better for our wildlife officers statewide.
Right, right.
Go ahead.
I know you've really been involved with the academy, too, that we have within the agency to train our new upcoming officers. And I just from a personal standpoint, I really appreciate your efforts there. It's always well-directed and well thought out.
Definitely. And you've seen me sweat a time or two through the years at our academy.
With them.
But, you know, the neat part about our academy is this is the future of the agency.
Yeah.
So it won't be long. I mean, some of us longer than others, but we'll be gone.
Uh-huh.
And we have to leave that legacy for our hunters and fishermen and boaters. We have to show these officers why they're here. And this is not a job. It truly isn't. This is a career. It's a calling and a passion.
Mm-hmm.
And we have – that starts at the academy. It really does.
Yeah.
And those officers, those men and women need to leave there with the enthusiasm that we all had when we got hired. So that's – I've made that my personal goal, is to remind them through the sweat and the blood and the tears that it takes to be a wildlife officer, that when you get out – people are going to look at you, and I can't go anywhere. And most of our officers can't, where people run us down and
yeah.
say, I wish I had your job.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Now, there's two or three a year that will go, I don't like you, and I think I know why.
Yeah.
But nonetheless, most people really envy our job. And so trying to instill that in these new cadets and let them know that they've entered into – a field that it's truly a family here with this agency.
Yeah.
And I hope they'll continue that long after we're all gone.
Right.
It's a unique job, unique position, because the love of the outdoors and the passion for hunting and fishing and being outside is what sparked that interest to become a wildlife officer. So it's a love for what they do. And then they get to do the law enforcement side too. I remember back when I first met you, we rode around on a boat, outside of Chattanooga, and I thought, as soon as I met this guy, I was like, he loves his job. He's great at this. He's great on camera. I love having him on camera. A great spokesman for the agency and for what you guys do, and I appreciate all the work, and congratulations on the promotion.
Yeah.
Thank you. I'm honored. Really am, and I look forward to a number of more years with this great agency. I do.
Yeah, I look forward to it as well. Well, let's jump in. Boating season is here. Can you update us on some of the numbers so far? It's not always the highlight of the job. There's accidents, there's fatalities and things like that. But can you update us on some of the progress so far, and before we get into the hot time?
Absolutely. And one thing I want to mention is, when I hired on, people said, hey, Matt, boating season is Memorial Day to Labor Day.
Mm-hmm.
3 months. That's all you got to do boating. The rest of it is wildlife and fun and glamour, glitz, and glory.
Mm.
But what I've seen change through the past 20-some-odd years is we're a 12-month boating state.
Exactly.
And our agency has made that happen through great fisheries, great hunting opportunities on our waterways, and just great recreational lakes and rivers. Our lakes are busy every weekend.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter if it's January or July. Uh-huh. It does not matter. So our efforts really have swung a lot to address the recreational boating safety needs, which we didn't really plan that. You know, 20 years ago, we would, you know, put our boats up in September and October, but not now. It's constant. So with that being said, we are called for service and investigations statewide 365 days a year.
Mm.
And so with that said, we're already up to 5 fatalities. So heartbreaking in a lot of ways, but what it does is reinstill the fact that people are utilizing our waterways 12 months out of the year, and we need to meet them there, not only from an educational standpoint, but from an enforcement standpoint.
Yeah.
We have to keep our boaters safe. And, you know, we often talk about these statistics. We have, and I cannot reiterate this enough, we have so many boaters that are doing the right things.
Mm-hmm.
But statistics always rise to the top when we talk about things. It's tough to say, hey, that's a good boater, that's a good boater, that's a good boater. But it's easy to say this was a mishap or that was a very preventable incident. So just take a minute to thank all our great boaters that are out there,
mm-hmm.
that do all the things right, that don't drive impaired, that get their educational course, they have their children in life jackets. We see them and we see them doing good. Right. So I applaud them because they make our job some easier.
There's usually a little prize or something for the kiddos, isn't there? When you guys happen upon a boat where everybody's doing the right thing and the kids got their life jackets on, and what's the latest thing?
So our wildlife officers take pride in that. You know, we've done T-shirts through the years and little giveaways, but one of the hottest items is Chick-fil-A gift cards. And they did that last year. And some of the officers that had handed them out, you know, once word would get out, people would chase them down and they'd say, hey, check me.
We're doing the right thing
here. Yes, yeah. Come look at us. So it has some positive benefits. It does. But what we want to do is people remember, and I talk about that at the academy, you're checked so little by a wildlife officer, mm-hmm. either on land or on the water, they remember that interaction.
That one time that it happened. You know,
And we are oftentimes the face of the agency. So if that's not positive, or we don't try to make it positive, you can write people tickets and still hug them and say, hey, you're a good person, mm-hmm. but you're getting a citation. But if we miss the mark on that, that can be very challenging for us to ever overcome, and they will advertise negativity for us. So being able to see that child there a little nervous about seeing blue lights and officers in uniform, giving them a little something, that puts that positive reinforcement that these people are not against us because they don't understand the safety component of it yet. So really important to engage those kids, thank them for wearing their life jackets. Probably makes a good impact on mom and dad.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, I love that. Just love on them a little bit. You know, everybody messes up. Everybody, you could forget something here and there, and you might have to pay the consequence, but, you know, keep loving on them, educate them.
People often tell me, they say, I bet you get to arrest a lot of really bad people. And that's not true.
Not the case.
No. I'm kind of jealous of other police officers and sheriff's deputies. They get to put handcuffs on some really bad people. Oftentimes, we find people that are great that just made a silly mistake.
Yeah.
So with that being said, I hope our officers treat them as such. Mm-hmm. This is not the end of the world. Most of the stuff we deal with is misdemeanors. So, you know, like you said, give them a hug and say, you're not a bad person, but this is something that we can't let go.
Yeah.
So, you know, with all that being said, some people have negative encounters with wildlife officers, but they're so few and far between.
Yeah.
The good ones definitely outweigh the bad ones. And we get just as many compliment calls here at the office as we do complaint calls.
So. Yeah. And I think the boater education program has had a big impact on folks being educated and learning how to do the right thing. You know, when you turn out as many certified boaters as we have since what was the beginning year that we
2005?
Kicked that off?
Okay. 2005.
Wow. Just imagine all the educated boaters now that heretofore weren't.
You know, absolutely.
They'd owned a boat for years, but had never taken the class. And you probably run into some of those, too, that are longtime boaters but are still learn something from the class.
They absolutely do. And I've told the story before, but, you know, back when I would teach boater ed classes, they'd bring their kids, the families.
Yeah.
And the moms and dads, they'd sit back there in the back. And they'd watch and they'd look because, you know, we're not going to teach them anything. They've been on the lake their whole life.
Sure.
But there was always a number of them that came up and went, wow, I learned a lot on that. Uh-huh. And so it lets me know we're doing the right thing. All you got to do is call us here at the office. We'll mail you a Boat Tennessee book, an education guide, a handbook.
Yeah.
We're not trying to hide these laws. We would much rather you do the research and be safe before you go out as ever have to meet one of our officers on the riverbank after a mishap. Mm-hmm. So education always comes before enforcement, but sometimes we don't get to them in time, and we have to make those enforcement decisions.
Well, can you remind folks where to get the take the classes, where to find that information, what's the age limit, and some of that kind of stuff?
Yeah, anybody born after January 1st, 1989 is required to have a boater education class. It's not a license. Some people call it a license, but you just have to have that education class. You pay $10 and you go to any one of our locations that gives the proctors the test, mm-hmm. or you can go to a class by a wildlife officer, wildlife educator, and they will get you certified. And then you get a card. keep with you while you're boating. It says you've passed our boater education course. We accept courses from other states. So if you've taken a NASBOA approved course in another state, we absolutely accept that because those curriculums are nearly identical and they all meet those requirements that we need here in Tennessee. Yeah. So that's what we're looking for is down the road is we want a fully educated boating public because the safer and more educated we are, the less mishaps we're really going to have. Got a lot of other things, too, to think about before you go out there. You know, people ask about registration all the time. Well, it's just a little boat, or it's you know, it's only got a trolling motor.
Yeah.
Anything with electric power, gas, diesel, or even wind powered, your sailboats, those have to be registered. Sometimes people just don't know that. They make an assumption or, you know, a guy at work said, no, you don't need to register it. If you're unsure, go to our website, look it up, or call one of us. Call our region office, call our Nashville office. We're glad to give that information out. We want to help you get registered. But get that vessel registered. Another big thing is wearing those life jackets. It's like a seatbelt. Okay, there's only going to be one or two times in your life you're going to need them. But we don't know when that is. Now, people say, Matt, you know, those are not cool. I don't like wearing life jackets. It's just not cool. It's hot. It makes me sweat. Well, I'll let you weigh the difference of what you're really interested in. But there's really not a lot of excuse now with belt packs and really small inflatable.
Right.
You don't even know they're there. Our officers were a little resistant to wearing them when we declared them to be worn by policy. But now I think you'd poll every officer we have, and they don't even recognize they're there anymore. It's just part of their equipment.
Yeah.
Well, for an officer, he's carrying the gun belt. He's got the, you know, the vest and things on. It's I would say wear it.
You know, it's interesting you mentioned about our academy. That's one of the things we do is we put them in the pool with all their vest on and their duty gear, and they come really close to not making it out. Now, we make sure they make it out.
Yeah.
But one thing they always say when they're gasping for air on the side of the pool is they say, you won't catch me without my life jacket on. So if that doesn't speak volumes to the rest of the people out there, I mean, I know sometimes it's hot, but I don't want to hear those excuses because I have stood by so many people on the riverbanks through the years whose loved ones weren't coming home because they didn't have that on. Now, is it a requirement? And not necessarily for adults. 12 and under must wear their life jacket, you know, when they're on the open deck of a recreational boat. You know, if they're inside a cabin or something, they don't have to wear it. Certainly, we understand kids get hot and they don't like that, but put them in a life jacket. It is a law requirement, and it's something that our wildlife officers are not going to budge on because in the event of an incident, those children cannot help themselves sometimes.
Yeah.
So we want them in that life jacket. And again, there's a few other places you got to have life jackets on too. You know, if you're operating a personal watercraft, absolutely have one on, or in dangerous waters areas below some of our hydroelectric dams, there's areas where you must have those life jackets on. So before, if you go to a new place boating, look that reservoir up and find out what if there's any special regulations for that.
And there's a certain type, right? A certain type that can and cannot be worn on a jet ski or a wave runner or personal watercraft, as you call it. Yeah.
Absolutely. You've got to have the, you know, the ski vest kind, the kind that buckles, not the inflatables. Those don't work on personal watercraft. You're going to want that buckle type, that type three, they call them, and put that thing on and have it buckled. We see people that are just riding around with it unbuckled. And, you know, we realize they've got the idea, but they could fall out, and that could slip right off of them. So we want it to be buckled on them, and we will stop you every time and say, that has to be buckled. Just understand, even if you're just going right over here, I hear that all the time. Hey, officer, I'm just going right over here. Things happen from here to there.
Yeah.
They always do, and they never happen when you expect them to happen. So even if you're going right over there, wear it. It's going to save your life, for sure.
Yeah.
I think of the young lady that was at the Operation Drywater press conference last year. You know, she was just waiting, I think if I remember right, waiting to move her jet ski to the ramp or waiting on her parents or something, and a boat come through, and she wasn't even really moving, I don't think. So it can happen fast. So.
It can. I can't tell you at the times I've heard people say the things. It all happened so fast, or they came out of nowhere.
Right, right.
And both of those statements are inaccurate. Those people been on the lake the whole day. You just weren't paying attention. Same way with the seatbelt. You know that that's going to help keep you in that seat and keep you from being thrown around, just like this life jacket. If you accidentally go overboard, it may not even be a collision with another vessel. You may hit a wave wrong or be standing up, fall out.
Yeah.
You can, everybody will laugh at you, take a few pictures and Snapchats or whatever they do, and then you get back in the boat and you'll just live with the funny videos. Just that humiliation. But sometimes it doesn't work out that way.
Yeah.
And those are the heartbreaking things that we have to deal with daily. Yep. And so our officers truly have the street credibility to say, I'm not joking. Mm. You need to wear that life jacket. It's a great idea.
Yeah. Well, we've touched on Operation Drywater a couple of times. Remind folks what that is. That's coming up July 1 through the 3rd, correct?
It is. So that's a national movement for education and law enforcement presence to remind people about the dangers of operating under the influence. So just like on the roadway, they have booze it and lose it, and all those things don't drive buzz. Buzz driving is drunk driving. Mm. All of those. This is a similar one, but just for the water. Hundreds and hundreds of agencies participate all over the country, and it's increased education, not only social media, but all the different forms of media, but also high presence on the lake, lots of officers, and they are looking to remove impaired operators because historically July 4th is one of our busiest two or three week periods where lots of people are
right
off work, out of school, and these incidents happen there, and they're almost predictable. So with a lot of officer presence, a lot of enforcement, but even as importantly, that huge education push leading up to it, we're not trying to hide in the bushes and catch you. We want you to know we are going to be out there. Find a sober operator and have those people operate that boat. And the truth is alcohol and drugs should just be left at home on the waterway.
Definitely.
You know, oftentimes we see our impaired occupants that will act up or fall overboard. Mm-hmm. And the person who ends up paying the price for that is the operator of the boat, because mm-hmm. they're in charge of all their occupants. So they can be charged criminally if something happens to that mm-hmm. person, either injury or death.
Wow. Yeah, that's very important. Very important. I appreciate these updates and these reminders, especially, you know, alcohol, drugs, life jackets. Those are two or three of the big main things that keep people safe on the water if they just do the right thing. We're going to run out of time. We got, I don't know, about 6 minutes or 7 minutes here. Can we touch on preparing your boat for the season? So it's April, and then we're going to be ready to get on the water, but the boat's been in the garage all season. Maybe they're not a winter fisherman or whatever. What do they need to be thinking about?
You know, to and from places, it's very common, especially on Saturday mornings. I'll see lots of boat trailers on the side of the road, flat tires or bearings that have gone out. And you know, while I smile because I've been there, I've been that yeah. person. Check your tires. If it needs new tires, make sure the lights are working. I'm sure the state troopers following you will really enjoy that part. Every part of your boat, let's check it out.
Yeah.
Go through and make sure you didn't take all the life jackets out. I've had that conversation with people. Oh, I took everything out so it wouldn't mildew. Let's make sure our fire extinguisher's in there, our throwable device if it's a 16-foot or over boat, all wearable life jackets for everybody on board. Make sure that safety equipment's there. Check your engine to make sure it's running. We get those calls late at night. Hey, we put in out here and we're floating down the river and our engine doesn't work anymore. We're not always available yeah. to be towing people
yeah.
out there.
Or tying up a ramp, you know, where it can't get it started to get it off the boat, you yeah. know, or get off the trailer.
We could do a whole episode on ramp courtesy, but we'll not get off track. But yes, those are the things. Go through it. Check your boat. Check all the safety equipment. And to follow that, file a float plan. Uh-huh. People, that's still foreign to people.
Yeah, yeah.
Let people know, especially if you're by yourself, kayak, canoe, or in a boat, let people know where you're going, where you're launching, and when you're planning on coming back.
I really like touting that one for fishermen, especially if you're going out by yourself or you've got maybe just one person with you.
It usually happens that way. It's a single fisherman by themselves, and we'll get the call right about dark, and they haven't shown back up.
Right.
And so that could be absolutely nothing. He could be catching a lot of fish and didn't want to leave, or it could be the opposite. Mm. So that starts in motion our officers out trying to look for them. And sometimes there's very good positive results out of that, but other times we have found empty boats. So file that float plan when you should be back, because if we don't know where to look for you, we've got a big search area.
Yeah.
And while we're on it, you know, have that hunt plan too. Hunters out there going to climb a tree stand, maybe cold. I just heard a story the other day of how a hunter slipped. He was out taking some tree stands down after a season. He slipped and fell. This is a podcast or something. But anyway, luckily he told somebody, you know.
And where he was headed.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, they came looking for him, that, you know, and he survived. But anyway, yeah, have a float plan, have a hunt plan, a fish plan, whatever you want to call it.
Yeah.
And that works. And my wife would kill me if she knew I said this, but I went and floated the Hiawassee River trout fishing right before dark. And I said, I have no cell phone service. I'm starting here and I'm ending here. Uh-huh. We'll be back after dark. And it was almost dark. And she was already calling my other wildlife officer buddies saying, where is Matt? I cannot get a hold of him. And which we just didn't have any service. But when I got out and I saw the messages on my phone, I went, I'm in trouble.
Yeah.
yeah.
But what
you had
what's
told
that,
her though, that's
what
good.
That reinforced was a float plan works. Yeah. It really does. Mm-hmm. And so I'm mostly out of the doghouse now.
Oh, yeah. I get in the doghouse even when I'm not on a float. It's like, I didn't hear it ring. I'm sorry. No. All right. Well, one other thing that I've been thinking about is you mentioned it, the 16-foot needed a fire extinguisher, but different lengths need certain things. And I know we wanted to hit paddle craft before we finalize everything here. So just kind of touch on the length requirements, and if you can, some of them anyway.
Yeah. Anything with an enclosed compartment. That's the way I explain to people on your smaller boats. Anything with an enclosed compartment that can trap fuel vapors, you need a fire extinguisher. One that's capable of extinguishing petroleum-based fires, like gasoline, okay. Oil, stuff like that. Absolutely. And you can see it will say on there what it's supposed to be doing. As your boat gets bigger, you're required more fire extinguishers. Once you get from 26 foot to 40, you require a couple of fire extinguishers, and then 40 on to 65, maybe another one. So look at those. Always check those. Make uh-huh. sure they are charged, because often we'll check these larger vessels, and they'll say, you know, I hadn't looked at that in a number of years, and sometimes they're in a good place, but sometimes they're not.
Yeah. So fire extinguishers are important. Have your float cushion, throwable cushion, have your life jackets. On paddle craft, you have to have a life jacket on board, right?
Yes. Even a stand-up paddle board, kayaks, canoes, all of those. If you're going from point A to point B somewhere, paddling down a river, have that life jacket readily accessible and make sure it fits its intended wear.
And if you're in a canoe, a kayak, a paddle board, or not, maybe not a paddle board, but anything that's running off a trolling motor, you need to register that vessel, right?
Absolutely. Make sure it's registered. But again, any questions you've got no excuse. We've got hundreds of ways to get in touch with us before you hit the water. Call us, talk to us, and we'll get you on the right path.
Take the class.
Yeah, take the class. TMWildlife.org is where you find all that information. Phone numbers, boating classes, all the documents and the PDFs of the handbooks and things, you can find them there. So yeah, just visit that website.
Yeah.
Matt, thank you.
Thank you for having me. Appreciate all y'all do, and I'm thankful for our sportsmen, our fishermen, and our boaters. They truly are. I'm thankful to be serving them every day.
Yeah. Awesome. Congratulations on the promotion as well.
Thank you, Don.
Well, this is Tennessee Wildcast. This was a great show. Hope you enjoyed it. We'll have more for you next week. So keep coming back, and we'll see you next time.
Thanks for tuning in. Stay connected with TWRA by visiting our website at tnwildlife.org and follow us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. Hey, it's all about Tennessee wildlife. It's what we do. Tennessee Wildcast will be on the air again next week. We'll see you then.